This episode was brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. If you're starting the year in Honolulu, ending it in Austin, and taking a sojourn to Sweden somewhere in between, it's important to protect yourself and your packed agenda. The more adventures you have on your plate, the more chances there are for travel mishaps to leave a sour taste in your mouth. An All Trips annual travel insurance plan can help protect you and your peace of mind on every trip you take this year. Learn more at AllianzTravelInsurance.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
All right, I've been getting a lot of messages in the evening time, and I haven't had a lot of time to respond to them because I'm in this massive book deadline. I'm already late, and so my apologies. So I'll do my best to answer some of the angst and hopefully calm everybody down over what's been going on across the fruited plain. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. I am your host, Todd Starnes, your voice of truth and hope across the fruited plain. And a lot of folks are just, they're in a mood. It's a weird sort of just vibe that's happening in the country. And people don't, folks are just confused. They don't know how to think. They don't know what to think. They're just concerned about the midterms, and there's all this turmoil going on with the Greenland and Norway and Denmark and Iran and Russia and Venezuela, all that. And then you have the lawlessness on the streets of American cities. And folks are just wondering, is it going to get better? Are we going to get to a point where peace is back in America? Is it always going to be like this? And the answer to that question is possibly. And the reason why is that the Democrat Party and the radical progressives are in the throes of death and destruction. And they're almost like a wounded animal. And so when you have a wounded animal and they're cornered, and that's, I think, a pretty good analogy. When you've got the wounded animal and they're cornered, they lash out like the puma, and they try to scratch you. They try to bite you, and they're very dangerous because sometimes they can, you know, lash out with their claws and come back with an arm, and nobody wants to lose an arm or any other sort of appendage. Nobody wants that. And I think that's where we are right now in the country. Now, it can go either way. The wounded animal could be healed and recover and devour the human, or in this case, the Republicans. That could happen. I don't think it is, but it could. A lot of that depends upon the people we elected to represent us in the halls of Congress. So it's a little iffy right now on that. But I want to tell you that we're about to go through some difficulties in this country. And this was expected. I don't think that anybody thought that once Donald Trump was reelected for the third time, that all of a sudden things would just poof overnight, turn into this America First utopia, the shining city on a hill. I don't think anybody really thought that was going to happen just overnight. So it's going to take some time. And I think really programs like this one, the Todd Starnes Radio Show, so many of you are tuning in noon to 3 Eastern. And many of you are tuning in because you enjoy the humor. You enjoy the lighthearted takes on the crazy things in life that are happening. We also talk about all the serious stuff. But it's sort of a place to come and realize and step back and say, you know what? As crazy as things are right now, it's going to be okay. It is going to be okay. And it is going to be okay. Look, God is still in control. That does not mean that we're not going to go through some difficult times. And we are. And that brings us to an update on the story we first brought to you yesterday regarding this church, City's Church in Minneapolis, or in St. Paul, rather, in Minnesota. And this church is, it's a good church. I would not categorize this church as, it's not like a Thomas Road Baptist, it's not like a Jerry Falwell Senior Church or a Pat Robertson Church. This church is not out there politically active. When you look at the congregation, these are a bunch of young people. We're talking millennials, Gen Zers. You know, they're more happy at a coffee bar than they would, say, at a pro-life march. I'm not saying they're not pro-life. I'm just saying I don't believe this church to be politically active. Maybe they are, but I don't sense that. When you are on the church's website, they're all about their mission, which is sharing the gospel and, you know, ministering to families in their community, which is what churches ought to be doing. So that being said, you need to understand that when the mob turned on this church, it wasn't like Jerry Falwell Sr. They were targeting a church that you would have in your local community, in your local town, a Southern Baptist church. These are good, decent people we're talking about here. Good, decent people. So yesterday, there's been a lot of there's been a lot of conversation on social media about whether or not the protesters were allowed to go in and storm this church, and it's shocking a lot of people that so many on the left are now saying yes, they have a constitutional right to go into your house of worship on a Sunday or a Sunday night or a Wednesday during prayer meeting and disrupt that service. And this is coming not from, this is not coming just from the activists. This is coming from the elected leaders there in Minnesota. Now, here is Keith Ellison, who is the attorney general. He is a Democrat and he is a Muslim. And he said that these people are allowed to go in and do what they did in that church house. Cut number eight, please.
I'm wondering if you have any frustration that this happened in a church. And look, I know the protesters say that one of the pastors was an ICE official, and DHS has not confirmed or denied that, right? So you would think if it weren't true, they would have denied it. But, you know, we don't know. They haven't said. But obviously the optics of going into a place of worship are not necessarily great. Does it frustrate you that it happened this way?
Look, here's what frustrates me. Over 3,000 ICE agents escalating into our state, a threatened 1,500 active duty military soldiers. That's what frustrates me. This situation is 100% because of Operation Metro Surge. This escalation, unjustified, irrational, inconstitutional, is why this is happening. I urge all people to obey the law, to try to do everything they can to not be provoked. But the reality, he's trying to provoke us. And, you know, I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. I can only tell you that the president is causing all of this. If he de-escalated and actually got into a conversation with local officials here, we actually talked about, you know, how to enforce all laws, that would change things dramatically. But that's not what we're getting. We're getting threats. We're getting surges. We're getting massive violations of people's human rights. And as a result of that, some people are expressing themselves in ways that are out of the normal, you know. Yeah. And so I'll leave it right there.
All right, that is Keith Ellison, the Muslim Attorney General of Minnesota. Assalamu alaikum, zibididuda, zibididuda, sir. So, look, here's the deal. You know why ICE is there? You know why ICE is there in the streets and they're apprehended? These are very bad people that are being arrested. We're talking about child predators. We're talking about pedophiles. We're talking about rapists and murderers. And it's shocking to hear the Attorney General defend all of these people. By the way, here's the Attorney General talking about the Sunday occupation of the church, says it was free speech. Cut seven.
The protest is fundamental to American society. This country started in a protest. And, you know, it's freedom of expression. People have a right to lift up their voices and make their peace. And none of us are immune from the voice of the public. So I, quite honestly, I think that you got the First Amendment, freedom of religion, and the freedom of First Amendment, freedom of expression. And I think that, you know, it's just, I think it's just something that you've got to live with in a society.
All right, so there you got, you got Ellison out there saying, oh, this is just free speech. Really? Really? I'm just curious. And by the way, I don't advocate doing this. What you do in your house of worship, how you practice your faith, that's between you and God, right? I do not go into churches, and I don't advocate doing this. But if, in fact, Mr. Ellison is saying that this is simply free speech, what do you think would have happened if a bunch of, I don't know, white folks would have disrupted the MLK celebrations yesterday and the commemoration ceremonies? How do you think Mr. Ellison would have reacted then? Is he okay with people just jumping up onto the stage at an MLK event and causing all sorts of mayhem? Is that what Mr. Ellison is saying here? By the way, this is Don Lemon, who helped organize all of this. The attack on, by the way, a white church by Black Lives Matter Minnesota. And here is Don Lemon accusing these white people of being white supremacists because they were offended by what happened yesterday. Cut 12.
And there's a certain degree of entitlement. I think people who are, you know, in the religious groups like that, it's not the type of Christianity that I practice, but I think that they're entitled, and that that entitlement comes from a supremacy, a white supremacy. And they think that this country was built for them, that it is a Christian country, when actually we left England because we wanted religious freedom. It's religious freedom, but only if you're a Christian and only if you're a white male, pretty much. And so, yeah, I absolutely 100%, but it's an intimidation tactic. And, you know, I said, I don't understand how I've become the face of it when I was a journalist. I do understand that I'm the biggest name there. And I'm also, as I was on with my producers this morning, you know, you and Kylie talk all the time. My producers were saying, I said, how did I become the face of this? And my producer said, Don, you're a gay black man in America.
Yeah, Don, that's not why they took offense. Yes, I'm a gay black man in America. And that's why they didn't like me. No, sir, being gay has nothing to do with it. Being black has nothing to do with it. You're just a jackass, Don. And even Christians have problem with jackasses. So here's a thought. Don't be a jackass. And maybe, just maybe, throw a couple of dollars in the offering plate the next time you decide to storm in to a Baptist church and make little children cry. You godless heathen thug, you. All right. I feel much better now. So all that to say, ladies and gentlemen, let not your heart be troubled. Right? That's what the Bible tells us. We're going to be going through trials and tribulations. And I will say this, and you need to hear me. They have just declared open season on every Christian church in America. They're laying out the guidelines here. That's why you've got the Minnesota Attorney General saying, hey, this is free speech. People have a right to come in and assault you in your church house. No, they do not. And I will say this, that may be how they do church in the Midwest, but down here in Dixie, where we proudly broadcast our radio show to hundreds of radio stations around the nation, that's not how we do church down here. You pull something like that in a Christian church down in Dixie, you're going to be meeting Jesus, either at the altar or in person. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Candles were lit on Bondi Beach by families, children, people of faith to celebrate a festival of light, a festival from Bible times, ones that Jesus himself celebrated. But instead of light, there was darkness, violence, fear, hatred showing itself at a time meant for prayer and rejoicing. Times like this remind us, even with the ceasefire in Israel, Jewish people are being targeted simply because of their faith. And times like this remind us why the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews exists, to stand in the gap, providing safety and security to God's people. The fellowship brings together Christians and Jews to be a light to suffering Jews in Israel, the former Soviet Union, or wherever the needs are greatest. And your gift today will help provide that security that God's people so desperately need. Visit urgentifcj.org. urgent.org. That's one word, urgentifcj.org, or call now 866-338-IFCJ. That's 866-338-4325. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Great to have you with us today. Pam Grier. Remember Pam Grier from the blaxploitation films of yesteryear? Those are some great movies, by the way. Anyway, Pam Grier was on The View with the squawking magpies, as we call them. Way too much testosterone on that program for my taste. Anyway, Pam Grier, talking about how difficult it was to grow up as a black woman in Ohio. I want you to listen to cut number six, please.
You faced a lot of racism growing up in Columbus, Ohio. Mm-hmm. How did that shape you?
Whew. Well, the military wouldn't allow black families to live on the base, so you had to live in an apartment. And you couldn't take a bus. You didn't couldn't afford a car. You walked. Your dad's walked to the base. Mm-hmm. And whew, sometimes we would go from tree shade to get back to the apartment. My brother and I, my mom, with bags, and my mom would go, "Don't look," and she'd pull us away. Wow. Because there is someone hanging from a tree, and they have a memorial for it now, where you can see where people were and left. Mm-hmm. And it triggers me today to see that a voice can be silenced. Mm-hmm. And if a white family supported a black, they're going to get burned down or killed or lynched as well.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Wow. I mean, that's pretty heavy stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Just, wow. I didn't realize they had a lynching problem in Ohio. I mean, in the southern states, yeah, okay, you could, that's feasible. Yeah, I mean, right. So I thought, wow, you know what? I'm going to do a little bit of research. I'm just curious how many black people were actually lynched. How many people were lynched in Ohio? I mean, she's talking, Columbus, Ohio is a big city. And now she's talking about her mother had to walk her to class and walk her to school and hanging in the neighborhood trees were black people. Shocking. You heard the audience reaction there. You heard the audience react. You heard the host reacting. Pam Grier got a little emotional, and who would not get emotional? That's a terrible thing. If it happened. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, the last lynching in Ohio occurred in 1911. Pam Grier would have to be 130 years old right now if, in fact, she saw what she alleged that she saw. Now, we decided to go to a website that actually keeps track of the number of lynchings in America. There is a website. In Ohio, there have been 15 reported lynchings. And the last one was in 1911. Pam Grier was born in 1949. So what does that tell you about Miss Grier? It tells you that Miss Grier has a lot more in common with Bubba Wallace. Remember him? Bubba Wallace, the NASCAR driver who said that somebody left a noose behind in his garage, and it turned out to be the pull rope for the garage door? Or what about Juicy Smollett, who went out in a frigid snowstorm because he was hankering for a tuna fish sandwich with two Nigerian bodybuilders? This kind of stuff really bothers me, because there is real racism out there, no doubt about that. But what Pam Grier does is she cheapens that. This woman is nothing more than a washed-up Hollywood actress and a two-bit race hustler. And that's really sad. But on this program, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to get the facts. And the fact of the matter is, she is a liar. Pam Grier lied on The View on ABC. Shame on you, Pam Grier. All right, we got to take a break. We're going right to the phones. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Losing weight's getting harder and harder as you get older, and it's not your fault. You're eating better, you're moving more, but your body isn't responding anymore. The harder you try, the less progress you see. And I am just like you. I've been dealing with this, and recently I made the call to PhD Weight Loss, and it's changing everything. I've been on the program for a week now, already dropped 3 pounds. Feel better than ever. PhD Weight Loss, they help people identify what's actually blocking fat loss, and they fix the root cause. And it isn't as simple as counting calories. Your body is much more complicated than that. If you want to understand why your body isn't cooperating, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Fix My Weight Loss to unlock our New Year's special. Book your consultation. It's free. It's personalized. And it could explain everything. Call 864-644-1900 and say Fix My Weight Loss. That's 864-644-1900. Or visit myphdweightloss.com. Tell them Todd sent you. All right, so we did the math, and Pam Grier said that when she was a child, she saw her mother would walk her through the neighborhood, and she would shield her daughter's eyes from the black men that were hanging from the tree branches who had been lynched. And of course, she's making these horrifying revelations on The View on ABC. So we decided to do the math here, and we looked into it. We looked into what she said. I find it interesting that nobody on The View, nobody over at ABC News, bothered to just do a very simple fact check, which took us all of like 45 seconds to do. There are actually websites that monitor lynchings in America. They determined the last lynching in Ohio was 1911. So if you're doing the math, Miss Grier has to be at least 126 years old, or she's a two-bit lying race hustler. So that's one way or the other. So there you go. All right, I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Welcome a good friend of this program, our great official top Republican strategist, Josh Jones. Josh, we got to get you some theme music.
Listen, I'm all for it. I mean, you always have great music, so I'll defer to the experts.
Well, by the way, speaking of that, Dylan, turn your microphone on, because Josh, you were in Memphis first time. You spent really the entire weekend in the Bluff City.
Yeah, no, Memphis was great. It was super cool to get to, one, hang out with the team, and have those conversations, but also getting to see Memphis itself. It was super fun.
We took him down to Rum Boogie.
What was your favorite part, Josh? What's your favorite part of Memphis that you've seen?
Rum Boogie was really good, actually. And I was actually telling Todd this as we were there on the radio last week leading up to the trip. You had mentioned the blues whenever I was like, oh, I like basic music. And I was like, I don't really know if that's what I meant. Turns out I'm a pretty big fan. Like, they had like live bands, and apparently it's like International Blues Weekend or something like that. And they were really good. So I was proven corrected.
You've come to the light side, I've seen then. Todd, you converted him.
Well, it was my honor. We took him to Rendezvous for ribs, and then we went to, well, we took him to Graceland, too. And what'd you think about Graceland?
It was super cool. I mean, super iconic place. So it was super cool. Graceland was very cool. I'm sure whenever I show my grandma the photos, that she'll really enjoy it.
Jeez, oh, your grandma. It is interesting, though. A lot of young people, you know, because of the Austin Butler movie, have become Elvis fans of late. And that musical style is just insane. I mean, his musicality, it can't be beat.
Agreed.
And of course, we also took him to see the Peabody Ducks, Dylan.
Yeah, you basically took him through every single Memphis thing that we have, it seems. Except for, I guess you didn't take him to Orange Mound.
No, we didn't do that.
Well,
next
time.
We took him to Bass Pro Shop, though.
Well, there you go. Biggest Bass Pro Shop in the world.
Man, many are saying.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, I'm glad you had a good, so you had a good visit, good trip back to D.C.
Yeah, trip back was smooth sailing, so yeah, back in the swamp now, unfortunately.
I know. Hey, look, we've got to talk about what's going on in your home state, the Commonwealth of Virginia. Abigail Spanberger, the new governor sworn in. And I'm just wondering what sort of lessons the Republicans need to learn from what's happening right now in your home state. We understand that Virginia Democrats, one of their first moves with the new majority is to ban the hand counting of ballots. And all it took was 48 hours. Meanwhile, the U.S. Senate still can't bust the filibuster to provide voter integrity nationwide.
Look, it's a clear signal from the Democrats that they ran this past November trying to paint Abigail Spanberger and their Democrat majorities in the legislature as some kind of moderate, middle-of-the-road Democrats. But in the first 48 hours, to your point, they went to weaken our election integrity. They went to redistrict Virginia to draw out four Republican seats. They went and rejoined the Regional Gas House Initiative, which is going to raise taxes across the state on all Virginians. Meanwhile, Abigail, the new governor, is trying to act like that her mandate is about affordability. Meanwhile, her first actions once getting into office is going to raise costs for every Virginian. So it's a slap in the face to voters that were, maybe believed her that she was going to be a moderate. But yeah, I mean, it's the typical Democrat playbook of run as a moderate, and then as soon as you get into office, run as far left as you can.
And they take full advantage of their majorities because they do control the assembly there or the legislature.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, they got a 66 seats out of 100 in the House of Delegates. And then over in the state Senate, they have 21 or 22 Senate seats. So Democrats are in complete control. Obviously, Republicans on the state level in the House and the Senate are going to vote against these bills and try and bring it up to the media and cause public pressure. But, I mean, there's only so much they can do, given that they don't have a majority in either chamber.
And I don't mean this in a bad way here, but, I mean, basically Democrats destroyed Republicans in Virginia. And now they're taking full advantage of their victories. And it seems to me, Josh, that's exactly what President Trump and the House Republicans and the Senate Republicans ought to be doing, too.
Look, yeah, I mean, President Trump's been in office as of today, I believe, if not today, then yesterday, been in office for exactly 1 year. So we're already 1 year down out of the 4 years that Trump has in office. And what's Congress really done? I mean, they passed a big, beautiful bill and a couple other, landmark legislation pieces. But, I mean, if you look at the Virginia Democrats in the first 48 hours, they are ramming through their initiatives in the first week that they've been in power. Meanwhile, Republicans have been in power for a full year at this point, and not much has happened, frankly.
We don't have much to show for it. And I'm troubled because you've got folks, for example, we had Harmeet Dhillon on from the Justice Department yesterday, and she did a great job. But it was very clear she was irritated with people saying, that folks aren't being arrested, that these cases are languishing. And she really pushed back and said, hey, look, we're doing a great job. I hate to say this, but the reality is the voters don't think they're doing a good job right now. And they've got to fix that, or it's going to come back and bite all of us in the behind.
Right, you're right, because this November the election will be about obviously multiple things, but mainly the economy, but also the perception of the current administration and the president. Like, that's not to say that the administration hasn't done good things, right? Like, I'm sure there's, they're making progress on initiatives across the board. But when it comes to the messaging battle, particularly in the press and then, social media and taking it directly to the American people, if the perception is nothing's getting done, that's going to be the reality for voters at the ballot box, whether that's true or not. So the administration, and particularly congressional Republicans, both on the Senate and the House side, have to be messaging clearly and consistently across the board. There needs to be some kind of memo of what the wins are and communicating that to the American people.
Josh, we have a lot of people that listen to this show in Virginia, and it's one of our larger states with affiliates. What advice do you want to give to the voters, to the conservative voters there in the Commonwealth?
I mean, look, the reality is, as of right now, we're going to see where this this redistricting initiative from the Democrats is going. But what's likely going to happen is it's going to end up going to a referendum to the voters that will come forward probably in April, most likely, maybe May, April, May, early this year. If you want to keep a Republican majority in the House of Representatives in D.C., we have to defeat this measure. And this is a national issue. Republicans across the country should be sounding the alarm of what's happening in Virginia right now. Because if Democrats win this, we're going to lose four Republican seats in the House of Representatives, which could cost us the majority. Because right now, it's a razor-thin majority. It's probably going to stay that way with whoever wins. So that's number one. And then number two is the Virginia General Assembly is in session from now until mid-March. There's going to be a lot of bills, Democrat bills, that come forward. And look, Republicans don't have a majority, so you got to be calling your representatives, even if they're Democrats, telling them not to vote for these bills. And look, it might not change their mind, but they might feel the pressure, and maybe they won't vote, or maybe it does change their mind. But being silent doesn't get you anything.
And again, just to reset there for a moment, and the redistricting could very well determine who controls the House of Representatives, ladies and gentlemen. That's how significant this is. And Josh, help me out here, because this will pass. I mean, no doubt about it. The Democrats are going to shove this through, this redistricting plan. But at that point, it has to go before the voters. Will that happen before the midterm elections?
Yeah, it will. It will. So this referendum will go to the voters before the midterms. And if passed, we will vote under the new lines this November. So it will 100% could determine the outcome of the 2026 midterms. And if, you know, Democrats get their way here, it could cost us the majority and then basically stall out the president's agenda for the last 2 years, probably lead to impeachment trials like we had in the first administration. So this is really a national issue. I mean, obviously, issue to every Virginian, but a national issue for the Republicans right now.
I know the RNC is calling it a power grab, but, you know, what are you doing about it, RNC? I mean, this is what troubles me, because you've got a state like Indiana, which is the exact opposite, is a rock solid red, and the Republicans there had the opportunity to redistrict, and they're like, oh, that's not who we are. You know, we want to be fair. We want to be nice. Well, that's all great, but the reality is we're in a knife fight right now for the country, and the Democrats aren't playing fair, Josh.
Yep, you're 100% correct. And to your point with the RNC, and there's plenty of other organizations out there that have made, you know, press releases on it or comments on it, the reality is, look, get the campaign machine running again. You got to get money flowing into Virginia. You got to get ads up informing voters of what's happening, because Democrats are trying to sneak this through. So Republican organizations and the apparatus need to dive into Virginia head first, start spending money and getting awareness out there to the voters. Because the reality is, Democrat, Republicans, or independents, most people are probably against this. So if you can drive these people to the polls and inform the voters, there's a good chance that we defeat this. But if there's no money behind the ads, no one's going to know.
Real quick, Josh, before we let you go, I think the other big part of this is the quality of the candidate. And there were just some lousy, lousy candidates at the top of the ticket in Virginia. I'm not saying that they're bad people. I'm just saying there were lousy candidates. What do we need to do as Republicans to make sure that we're getting electable candidates out there on the ballot?
Look, I mean, you kind of said it in the question. The number one, particularly in Virginia or other swing states that can go either way, whenever we're in these primaries or convention processes, top of mind for these voters in the primary should be who's the most electable in a general election. Because, look, someone you agree with 80% of the time but can win is better than someone you agree with 95% of the time but they won't win. So that has to be top of mind for voters in Virginia, and it goes for other swing states as well. Because, like you said, we did have great candidate quality in the election this past November, and that definitely contributed in a large way to why we are in the situation that we are now.
Well, the most important thing is getting out to vote. And if you don't do that, you know, you get what you vote for. And to that point, only 40% of evangelical Christians who are registered to vote bothered to show up and vote in the most recent election. That's the problem, is that Christians and conservatives just aren't getting out there and voting.
Look, you're 100% correct. And another big problem, too, is, and look, President Trump's great. He's working on his agenda, but he has no more races to run. He's term-limited out after this administration, and he won't be on the ballot anymore. So there's a lot of folks who come out to vote in 2016, 2020, and 2024 to vote because Trump was on the ballot, and therefore they voted for Republicans down ballot. But in 2028, Trump's not going to be on the ballot. So we need those voters to still come out. And I think you saw that drop off in Virginia this past year. Hopefully, 2026 midterms, we don't see that. But it, I mean, it is a real issue that a lot of voters are motivated to come out and vote for President Trump, which is great. But you have to come out and support the whole team, yeah. not being the Republican.
It's common sense. I mean, it really is common sense. Josh, we're going to leave it there. By the way, Dylan, did you know that Josh grew up on like a huge farm? And, like, shoots guns and everything. He's like a good old country boy.
Wow. You sound more like a Southerner than me, actually. This is nice.
I know. I've lived many lives.
So you're kind of like a, almost, I mean, not quite, but you could be categorized as a hillbilly. I mean, you're from that neck of the woods, right?
Oh, 100. Yeah, 100%. 100%.
We're going to get him a corncob pipe.
Next time you're here,
next we're going to Dollywood. That's and by the way, he's a Dollywood aficionado.
Wow,
this is also true. Yeah, like my house growing up was like 2 hours give or take from Gatlinburg and Dollywood, so spent a lot of time down there.
We're spilling all the tea. I learned that lingo, by the way. That's the new Gen Alpha lingo.
You're hanging out with too many young people, Todd. Yeah,
I know. Josh. All right, my friend, appreciate all the great intel, and we'll be talking to you again next week.
All right, thanks, Todd.
All right, good man right there, Josh Jones. You folks in Virginia, y'all got to fix this. And this election in April, whether that will basically decide whether or not you guys redistrict, that will decide the fate of the House of Representatives. Unbelievable. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Gonna take a quick break, going right to the phones. We'll be right back. All right, let's go right to the phones. San Francisco, David is on the line, wants to talk redistricting. Hi, David, what's on your mind?
Well, how are you, Todd? I don't know if you know it, but in 1914, America got tricked into limiting Congress to a total of 435 members. You know, before, in the original Constitution, 40-something years ago, we were supposed to have a new congressman for every 30,000 people. And then in the 1800s, they doubled it. And that was going to make it a little more difficult, but at least there would be a limited size of a congressional district. Well, when they, 1914, the Congress got tricked into topping out Congress at 435 members. And so now, instead of getting a new congressman at 60,000 people, it's now well over 700,000 people. And in some cases, it's actually 1 million people per congressional district.
Yeah.
And the congressional districts are changing shape almost every election year or every census year.
So actually, that law was actually 1911, and it went into effect, I believe, in 1929.
Right. It took a while for them to scam it, but they got it done. And but the name of the game is that we're not getting taxation with representation. And the workload on a congressman is so big that they can't possibly get anything done. And they only got 2 minutes to listen to somebody put in a request to deal with an issue in a region. If you've ever seen, you know, Lauren Boebert's old district was basically three quarters of the size of Colorado. The entire bottom and the entire Utah.
So what's your solution here, David? Because we've got about 40 seconds. What's your solution?
Well, we've got to stop playing games with these congressmen that are taking bribes. A single bribe can lock a congressman into voting the wrong way forever. And you can blackmail a congressman now, and they can never do the right thing. And that interview you just finished, the guy's playing with America like it's a game. This is not a game. where we need taxation with representation, and we don't need politicians playing like, oh, it's not fair that we are getting redistricted out.
No, it's not. But, David, just think about this. 40% of New England, 40% of New England votes Republican. They have zero Republican representation in Congress. And that's not right. It's just not right. The idea that you've only got 12 and you're about to have even fewer Republicans in Congress from California. No, it's not right. And I'll talk more about it on the other side of the break here. But David, thanks for calling in. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Welcome, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. Border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. And we certainly want to welcome a brand new affiliate to the Todd Stern's Radio Show family. We have well over 100 stations that broadcast this show across the country, and we're very honored to welcome a great radio station, KOZI. KOZI, great radio station there in Chelan, Washington. And we want to say welcome. And by the way, any of our KOZI listeners, if you guys phone into the show today, you weigh in on the topics, we're going to hook you up with a Todd Stern Show prize package, just our way of saying welcome to the neighborhood. So we want to welcome all of our friends in Washington State listening to us today on KOZI. And we are going to be announcing, we're about to add about 25 or 30 new radio affiliates, and we'll be sharing that information with you here in the coming days. Well, speaking of radio, a very disturbing story coming out of Jackson, Tennessee. You folks in West Tennessee that listen to us on KWAM, WTJS, you might be very familiar with this radio station. Well, the radio station has been accused of doxing the location of ICE agents working in Western Tennessee. This is an exclusive story that was just broken by our good friend Steve Gill. He's the publisher of TriStarDaily.com, and he joins us right now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Steve, first, congrats, man. Love the exclusive reporting. What's going on in Jackson, Tennessee?
Well, first of all, congratulations on adding the Washington station and others. Now, when you add Washington, Oregon, and California stations, Todd, does that count as sort of like radio-free Cuba, radio-free Russia, radio-free America that
darn
you're broadcasting
tootin'
behind intellectual enemy lines?
Darn tootin', that's what it is.
I think you need a new logo, radio-free Todd, and play that you're bringing the truth to places where it does not exist.
That's
which
brilliant.
Which includes Jackson, Tennessee at this point. The WNWS 101.5 in Jackson has been, and it's not just their station media, but some of their hosts that are a lot more liberal and anti-Trump than they try to pretend to be, have been literally posting video in real time of ICE agents operating in Jackson, Tennessee, and not just showing the video, but then saying, oh, they're at like the corner of 5th and Main, telling, you know, these protesters, these Antifa thugs, exactly where ICE is operating, putting the ICE agents and law enforcement, because unlike Minneapolis, the law enforcement in most of the Tennessee counties is cooperating with ICE. They know keeping bad, illegal alien criminals off the streets is a good thing. But this radio station is putting out real-time opportunities for those who want to protest and interfere and harass ICE to know where to go. And then to make it worse, the station has like a group that is affiliated with them that is saying ICE is in Jackson, and if you'll go to the story at TriStarDaily.com, you can not only see the photos of this live doxing of ICE agents, but also this post that the station and their allies have done calling for people to rise up and defend their rights. And I've been told now they've posted another link that people are posting on in Spanish telling Hispanics to stay home because ICE is here. They're doing the same things to promote the violence we're seeing in Minneapolis in Jackson, Tennessee.
This is shocking because it's my understanding that Jackson is a pretty conservative part of the state of Tennessee. Am I wrong there?
No, I think Jackson is, and I think the advertisers on WNWS 101.5 are conservative and will be appalled to learn what their dollars are promoting in Jackson. But I think you've got, you know, either station ownership and or the host that are looking to be provocative and try to create the kind of violence that will draw attention that they can then cover and they can talk about. And I think it's reprehensible. I think it's disgusting. And that's why we want to make sure that people are aware of it and they can go read the full story and see the link so they can see for themselves what this supposedly, you know, conservative talk station in Jackson is all about. And again, the
Hold on, Steve. You're telling me WNWS is a conservative talk radio station?
It used to be, but now when you look at the hosts that are on it, you've got one that brags about being an atheist. You got another that's always anti-Trump on everything, and now when you see this trying to hurt ICE agents appeal that they're doing, I think it makes it pretty abundantly clear they are so disconnected with Jackson and West Tennessee that, again, the station ownership, if they're not for this, they need to step in and clear this up today.
I am just shocked, and I have to imagine that the advertisers would be horrified to know that they're supporting this effort to put ICE agents in danger, Steve.
Now, I have to add that that Babylon Bee, who you and I know is one of the funniest sites ever created, has just posted with respect to the church being invaded and the parishioners being attacked and harassed. They just posted that it was a good thing it was a Baptist church, because if it had been a Pentecostal church, nobody would have noticed with the talking in tongues and the hands waving. So Babylon Bee, of course, making fun in the most cryptic way. My concern in Jackson is, are we going to see churches invaded? Because is this action by this radio station going to spur the same action we've seen in Minneapolis? Should Jackson churches be aware that they could see thugs coming into their church congregation Sunday morning, spurred on by this radio station?
It's a great question. And again, this is just shocking. And folks, you can read the story at TriStarDaily.com. Again, this radio station now accused of doxing ICE agents. And it's a fair point, because clearly the Attorney General of Minnesota has sounded the alarm that it's okay to go into churches and cause disruptions. And you wonder if, in fact, you know, people in West Tennessee might actually do something like this. This is the telephone number of the radio station. If you folks want to write this down and find out what the heck is going on. What troubles me is anybody who disguises themselves as a conservative radio station, and you're out there doxing ICE agents. We don't play that game. So here's the number of the radio station: 731-423-8316. Again, that's 731-423-8316. Give them a call and find out what the heck is going on there. At, what is it, WNWS Talk Radio there in Tennessee. Steve, I would say shocking that something like this is happening in Tennessee.
By the way, you have to love what our law enforcement agencies and ICE and others are doing in the wake of these assaults and attacks and harassment. Apparently in Minnesota, the ICE agents are now running the license plates of the protesters who were harassing and blocking and creating all this chaos and violence. They've now started leaving one location and heading to another. And, of course, all the protesters will follow them like Pied Piper, you know, and the children, and they drive right to one of the protesters' homes, letting them know, we know who you are, we know where you live, and now the protesters are screaming harassment and intimidation about the ICE officials for showing them we know where you live.
Wow. All right. Steve, we appreciate you coming on and sharing the breaking news there and the exclusive news story out of Jackson, Tennessee, where you've got a conservative talk radio station now accused of doxing ICE agents. Unbelievable. Go read it. Go see it for yourself, folks, over at TriStarDaily.com. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks, Todd. We'll talk soon.
Well, I am speechless. just speechless. Wow. Let's go to the phones. John, Bowling Green, Kentucky. John, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. Good show today. I want to bring up the subject of that invasion of that church in Minneapolis there. You know, I just want to make this real short. This is why a lot of churches and synagogues have tactically trained armed security, okay? If Mayor Fry is going to allow a citizen to stand out in the middle of the street with an AR, platformed rifle, when Minneapolis is a very firearms-unfriendly city, then I really sincerely believe, like they do down here in the South, that they have tactically trained armed security. Had there been security individuals in there, I really sincerely believed that they would have prevented this situation. Because you have children that, I'm a trained soldier, okay? And I'm sure you have a lot of trained vets out there. I'm good vets. Had they known this was going to happen, or Don Lemon would have arranged it, you would have had scared kids in there. To me, and I'm serious, maybe I'm wrong, have a police officer, you know, say something about it, but there's children's lives at that point an imminent threat. Any parent or any well-trained security, tactically trained security, would have drawn their weapons and said, back away, or tasers or anything else, because at that point, those people were in immediate danger, okay? And I really sincerely believe that. That kind of stuff doesn't happen down, you know, down in our area or in your area, Todd, because people have common sense. These protesters and agitators have no common sense. Like what happened in, I can't remember what state it was, where that guy came in and tried to shoot up that church. One of the security guards was killed, but that other security guard took the other guy out with a good headshot. It's just now coming down to that.
Well, let me just say this, John. Even in Minneapolis, where it was just what, back in August, you had the mass shooting. You had two children get killed. You had 30 other people that were injured, including 26 school children. And that happened in Minneapolis. And for me, the greater horror was the looks on the faces and what people did when that mob stormed in, because everybody froze. They didn't know what to do. At that moment, had those protesters been armed, you would have had a massacre right there at the Baptist church.
That's right. And that's how come I'm saying, and I'm encouraging any churches that don't do it, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good to your parishioners. They need to have tactically trained in hand-to-hand combat as well as firearms training to do it, because I'm sure there's a lot of retired police officers out there that found this kind of thing horrifying, that will be willing to train individuals that are willing to put their lives on the lines for their families and their kids to do something like that, Todd. Mm. And you know what? It's just gotten to the point, yes, I love the Lord, I love trying to serve him, but it's just gotten to the point where you have to draw the line. You can be a sheep, which there's a time for that, but then there's another time where you turn the other cheek and you come around with a back fist to the temple. Thanks, Todd. Great show.
Well, thanks, Pastor. And nothing wrong with a sheep owning a Glock, I'm just telling you. So I was talking to a preacher, Dylan, just a couple of days ago, and I was asking him about church security. I'm like, do you guys have a security team? I know our church does. And the guy said, yeah, we have a church security team. I said, wow. Well, how many people are on your team? He said, well, we have about 75 or 80. And I said, good Lord, man, how big is your church? He goes, well, we got about 80 members.
I love that, actually.
I'm like, wow. All right. There you go. You got to bring your Bibles and your guns to church. And look, that's just the reality of the situation we live in these days. But I am curious. And maybe folks who attend synagogue can help us out with this. There have been so many threats and attacks on synagogues. I'm wondering if the synagogues are holding these kinds of safety classes for the entire congregation. So they come into and they tell the congregation, okay, if something happens, here's what you need to do. I don't know if we've ever done that in any church I've ever attended. I know we have, you know, security. But I do wonder if we're getting to a point now where you almost need to have those drills in your church so when something like that happens, you know what to do. Those people had no idea what to do, no idea on Sunday what to do. And that That really troubles me. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
You know, Todd, I know several pastors down here that are carrying packing heat. I call them Mr. Pete's, pistol packing pastors, and all their parishioners are carrying. I know pastors that have AR-15s, and they are not going to take any crap from anybody. You come in and you threaten a church to do harm, you might as well kiss your backside goodbye. You're going to meet your maker.
Yeah, well, all right. That's Mark from the Villages. I like that. Pistol packing preachers, or Pete. Pete the pistol packing preacher. Oh, likes pickles. Get some alliteration going. Hey, by the way, any of you folks Kevin James fans out there, remember, did you ever watch The King of Queens, Dylan? I love that show.
I watched a little bit. I watched all his movies growing up. Mall Cop. What was the one, Here Comes the Boom, where he's like the boxer UFC guy?
Oh, that's right.
I love that movie.
So Kevin James is in a new movie, and it's from our good friends over at Angel Studios, and I've seen it, and it's so well done. And folks, so if you're looking, ladies, and guys too, this is actually one of those weird films. I've actually seen this film, so I can say this with an educated viewpoint. Guys, you're going to like this. It's a romantic comedy. It's funny. It's uplifting. And it's safe for you to watch with the whole family. So this is pretty incredible. It's called Solo Mio. And it proves that Hollywood can still, you know, tell a good story, a love story, without being crude or without getting buck naked. And nobody wants to see that. So anyway, the movie set in Italy. And Kevin James, one of the stars, Jonathan Romy, brings a very... very nice performance. You're going to love that. And I want you to go and watch this. And here's how you can do it. Become a premium member of the Angel Guild. And that's how I was able to watch it before you guys were. I'm a member of the Angel Guild. You're going to get two free tickets to see Solo Mio in theaters on February 6th. So grab your spouse, your sweetheart, your family, and go and watch this great movie. And it's important for us to support these sorts of films. But I'm not going to tell you to go see something that's crap. And this is not crap. This is very good. So visit angeltree.com. Now, this is a weird address, so I want you to write it down. angel.com/starns.com. All right? angel.com/starns.com. And you'll be able to get tickets and join the Angel Guild. You are going to love this movie. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to be talking to the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, Pastor Clint Presley joins us from North Carolina. So we're going to get his take on what happened in Minneapolis. Also, paying very close attention to what's happening on Capitol Hill. Democrats are hell-bent on either defunding ICE or shutting down the government. We can't let that happen. And so the Republicans are going to have to play some hardball here. And we shall see what happens when it comes to the filibuster. But it seems to me that there is somebody in the Senate, maybe multiple people in the Senate, and a whole lot of Senate staffers who want to stop Donald Trump's agenda. That's what they're up to right now. We can't let that happen. All right, got to take a break here, folks. ToddSterns.com. Go check out the website. We have a lot of great content for you there. A lot of great stuff for you to check out. We'll be right back, everybody. We just had a caller from North Carolina phone in and say, hey, can you give us that website address again for Angel Studios? And I can certainly do that. And again, it's a different website address than you're normally used to. It's basically two website addresses together. angel.com/starns.com. That's angel.com/starns.com, STARNES. And we'll post that up on the website as well. But I want you to go and check them out. I have been a member for, gosh, about a year and a half, 2 years maybe. I don't hold me to those dates. But I have just loved it. And they have such great programming, family-friendly programming, and I love it. And there's some nice action-adventure stuff there as well. And you're going to love it. Again, angel.com/starns.com. All right. So, want to play some audio here. This is from my Newsmax show last night. We were just honored to have our good friend, who is the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. His name is Clint Presley, and he was invited on. He pastors a church there in North Carolina, and he's just so upset over how all of this went down, and I want you to take a listen to that conversation. I want to get your reaction to what we saw happen at this Southern Baptist Church on Sunday.
Yeah, it was infuriating. I mean, I heard about it last night as I was at a college event, and everybody that I know, from all of the presidents of all of our entities to the leaders I know to the pastors I know, it is infuriating to think that a worship service was disrupted as it was. A peaceful, God-honoring, family-oriented worship service, and looking at the video, you know, I'm having to work through, just pray through, being absolutely enraged.
You know, Pastor, I want to read this to you. One of the church members wrote this on social media, and they gave an eyewitness account of what happened. They stormed in right as the sermon started, surrounding the congregation, started shouting obscenities and their disgusting slogans. As the children started crying, this seemed to enrage one man even more, and he started screaming about how we are, quote, privileged pigs. You know, Pastor, I'm a Southern Baptist as well. I cannot believe right. This is happening in the United States of America.
No, I can't either, and I can't believe, thank the Lord, that no one was injured in that. I'm thinking about the churches that I know. Had that happened in churches that I know that have a security team, there could have been some sort of terrible injury. You think about the heightened awareness that churches are having to have now with all that's happened in churches, and it's just by God's kindness, nobody was hurt when all of this happened.
You know, Pastor, I want to get your reaction to the federal government's response here. Are you satisfied with the response so far from the government?
Yeah, I'm very thankful for the Attorney General's office for what their response has been. What I hoped it would be. I hope they'll keep pressing that. I hope that they will make arrests. I hope that they will have justice for what happened.
I want to play some audio here. Again, this is what was happening inside the church as this mob stormed in. Here's what happened with one father. Let's watch this.
What do you think of this?
There's a harmless Christian here that wants to praise the Lord with my son, and now I got to go home. I'm sorry that you guys are so angry.
I'm just chronically, I'm not with the group.
Oh, what do I have to say?
Can you understand why they're angry?
I don't understand any of this because I'm a simple man. I'm a simple man who loves the Lord and is a good father. So this is what we look forward to, is coming, being with our family and praising Jesus. And that's not something that we have to run away from.
You know, yeah. It's interesting, Pastor Stanley. There are actually people in that congregation that were interviewed that actually are upset with ICE and what ICE is doing, but they're members of that church there. And they were equally upset that their worship service was interrupted by this mob. Just a few moments ago, Don Lemon actually said all the white people in that congregation, they were symptomatic of white supremacy. How do you respond to the attacks on this wonderful little church there in St. Paul?
Yeah, especially knowing Jonathan Parnell and his approach to ministry and that church's love of the gospel and love for people, and what that church is driven by is not some sort of strange ideology, but a love for all people and a desire to see them to come to know Christ.
I'm just curious, as president of the largest denomination outside of the Catholic Church here in America, what word do you give to Southern Baptist congregations around the country? Many are afraid that what happened there in St. Paul just might happen in their towns.
Well, I think there's good cause to be afraid. I think this is an alarm that says churches and security teams should be ready. We pray for peace, and we prepare for whatever comes our way.
All right. Wow. How about that? I wonder what would happen if our nation's second largest denomination, outside of the Catholics, it's the Southern Baptist, what would happen if they woke up out of their slumber and really stormed back onto the scene of the culture war and the public square? What would that look like? I like this guy. Clint Pressley is his name, president of the Southern Baptist Convention. By the way, not everybody is supporting Don Lemon. I want you to listen to this guy who says there's no way Don Lemon would try that church stunt at a black church. Cut 11.
Yeah, Don Lemon knew better than to go to a black church. He would have never tried that. It would have been a totally different scenario that would have happened. Totally different outcome. Because we don't play about stuff like that. You're not going to come in and you think he would have got an interview? Are you kidding me? He wouldn't have got past the aunties at the front. They would have shut that down. He's not even getting in through the front door. Yeah, we don't play that. In the name of Jesus, he wouldn't have got in. You're talking about dudes reformed from the streets, giving the testimony aunties never gave up on them. You're going to assert yourself into that situation, bro? I'm scared to have my phone on ring when I'm at church. It's just a different atmosphere, you know? I don't even want to say what would have happened that day, but a lot of righteous indignation would have went down. We would have righteously indignated that whole situation, shut it all down. You think he's going to lean into a black pastor? He's going to lean in like that, tell him, hey, don't touch me, and lean in on him with his auntie watching in the front row? You think he's going to do that? Bro, I would pay pay-per-view. I would pay to see that. Don Lemon knew better. He would have never done that, bro. He knows. He's not dumb.
Yeah, they would have indignated his behind right out the front door. That's what they would have done. Here's another lady who says Don Lemon needs to be ashamed of himself. Cut number 9.
The administration and the fake news magas are losing their mind over something that's not even true.
Oh, no, sir. This ain't got nothing to do with MAGA. This got everything to do with you taking your ass up in that church and harassing people like that. Now you want to circle back and act like, oh, well, I am in no affiliation, association. No. You are in 110% corroboration with the Democratic Party that is causing more and more and more problems. You, by the way, who keep saying that white people are devils, but you married to a white man. So does that make you the devil's broad? I'm trying to understand, what is it exactly that you are doing, and what is it exactly that you want us to think that you're doing? You are opposition to any and everything that is successful in this country. Anything that is trying to get this country together, you are in direct opposition of. But then you want to come back and try to play the victim. No. You're not a victim, Don. You are not a victim. You are 100% guilty of all the that you have already done. And then you keep doing it. Then you keep doing it. Then you want us to come in and talk about, oh, well, you know, it's the news. It's the news. You're a damn journalist yourself. Listen, people, I keep trying to tell you, we're doing a complete separation. If you are not a melanated American, if you are not one of our non-melanated cousins, all y'all can get out. Even the people that were born here. If you do not like this country, and Don, you got plenty of money, take your ass somewhere else. You and your husband. Why don't you go somewhere? Where is all the rest of these people? Where did what's the name? The white lady that had the TV show. Go with Portia. Go on Ellen DeGeneres. Why don't you go be neighbors with Ellen and them? Just get the out.
I'm sorry, Dylan. Did she say highly melanated?
Melanated person.
Yeah. Wow. You know, she calls Don Lemon, you know, there's MAGA, but she called him F-A-G-A.
Wouldn't Google that.
No, don't Google it. Don't. Wow. People are really fired up in the black community about Don Lemon. You know why? Because they know. They know it's all a grift, just like Juicy Smollett, right? And the Nigerian boyfriends. And just like, oh, who is it? Bubba Wallace. I'm telling you, people are waking up across America. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. President Trump is right. Newsmax is your source for fair and balanced news. Millions of people are now watching us on cable. They're going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, and they're downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones and TVs. Reuters says we're one of the top news brands in the nation. Every night you can watch great shows like Carl Higbee, Rob Finnerty, and, of course, yours truly. Find out why Newsmax is the fastest-growing news channel in America. Make the switch today. Join our news revolution. Get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. Takes just seconds to start. And let President Trump know you stand with Newsmax. Real news for real people. Dylan, I'm getting a little nervous. I've been watching these weather forecasts now. And my good friend Laura Huckabee, you know, she's the chief meteorologist for KWAM in Memphis, our flagship station. They're predicting some pretty serious snow here in Tennessee. And we don't do snow well here at all.
We may do snow the worst here, actually.
You know, I think you're right about that. We have I think the most snow we've gotten since I've been back here is maybe a couple of inches.
Yeah.
Right? And that's not like ice and all that. That's just regular old snow.
Yeah, but we mostly deal with ice, which is worse because, well, especially the black ice because you just can't see it, and then your people are driving crazy.
You said black ice, not black guys.
I did not say black guys.
I just wanted to make sure. Black ice.
It's true, yeah.
Ice. One model has Nashville getting 17 inches of snow.
Wow.
At that point, you just have to say, okay, just go ahead and bury me. Yeah. We're dead. We're good.
I think we're staying in today.
That's it. We're staying in for the month. Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. So even here in Memphis, which we don't even have, I don't think we have snow plows.
No, we don't have snow plows. We have potato juice plows.
Potato juice. It's true, though. That's how they melt the, you're not going to be able to melt this. I think the most snow we've ever gotten in the history of Memphis is like, you know, 16 inches or something. But now they're saying we could actually get historic snowfall here. We're going to need some guidance from our northern listeners on how we should prepare for this, because they're telling us you've got to prepare. You've got to prepare. And I know that the cows already know it, because I was driving by like a dairy on the way in this morning, and they're like, the cows had that look. Crap.
They're working overtime.
Oh, man. Yeah, right, because everybody buys the milk, and they buy the bread and the toilet paper.
And I've never understood why. I understand toilet paper, but the milk, I don't drink milk that much, so I don't need to stock up. But and maybe it's a thing.
Why do you need the TP? That's what I mean. You got milk, you got eggs.
Just in case you're stuck in for months, I guess. But I really don't. I don't think that's going to happen. I live right across the street from a Kroger, though, so I'm okay.
Oh, so you can just walk across the street.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not bad at all. But now the problem is getting supplies into Memphis.
That's a good point.
My goodness. All right. So people are now asking Grok what the snowfall totals are going to be in Memphis. We've got a 96% chance. And you know how it goes with these forecasters, because people are going to be freaking out. Right now, I'm sure there are fist fights for the last thing of chitlins and collard greens at Kroger.
Or super low. That's our local Kroger.
That's your local southern grocery store.
Oh, yeah. The chitlins are gone there.
And you know what's going to happen? Come Sunday, we're not going to get anything.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going to be angry. They're going to be mad. They're going to be furious about all of this.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, just about the entire southern listening audience of the Todd Stern Show, you guys are expecting to get historic snowfall from like Friday on to Sunday. That's crazy. Just crazy. Hmm. You watched the game last night?
Oh, yeah. Of course I did. Ordered a whole medium pizza for myself.
Is that right?
Yeah. My wife's out of town, so I'm just, you know, degrading as a human.
You're really batching it again.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, nice. Did you do, what pizza did you do?
I did Marco's pizza.
Is that right? Okay.
Yep. Just the cheese, so nothing crazy.
That's all right. Yep. That's a traditional. So that was, I think, one of the greatest championship games I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, a lot of good defense, and then it really ramped up at the end, which was, it's always fun to end that way.
You know, when I knew the game was over, when they kicked the, was it, they were kicking the extra point of the field goal, and it boinked into the between the field goal posts.
Yeah.
It boinked in.
Yeah, Miami, they, instead of trying to score or get, you know, convert a fourth down, they decided to kick a field goal. And this kicker in particular has not been good in the college football playoffs. So, yeah, they missed it. And that was, I agree with you, a telltale sign. The rest of the game wasn't going to go well for them.
And that that run, the touchdown by Mendoza. Fernando Mendoza.
Yeah.
Jeez, Lou.
Yeah.
Do you see that hit he took? They made him show his arm on national TV. It's just black and blue already.
He looked like he got jumped.
He sure did.
In an alley.
Yeah.
His face, his lips were bleeding, like everything. He was,
He's that physical game. What are you going
to
do?
That's his character, though. That's what, you know, prevailed that team to really win the game. I think they won the game on discipline. You know, Miami had more penalties that cost them the game. And I don't know. They just don't make a lot of mistakes. And that was said a lot. And not only that, they make really flashy plays that let them score.
And can we just say this about Miami? And I don't mean this in a mean way. They're thugs, right? It's you've got
they're not the nicest guys.
No, you've got what, Mark Fletcher. You see that Fletcher was throwing punch. He's throwing a punch at an Indiana player, and the Indiana player's like, "What? Come on, come on!" He was like putting his arms out. Come on.
Yeah, I get the emotion, but you gotta be self-disciplined, man.
And who's the elderly guy? Who's the quarterback?
Oh yeah, Carson Beck.
Yeah, the old guy. So he didn't even bother to go over. Poor Mendoza's, he was literally running over after the interviews to shake his hand.
Yeah.
He was gone.
No, and the coach, too. Everyone's kind of just, yeah. I'm
no
glad Indiana won is all I'll say.
I am, too.
They deserved it. This is the greatest story in college football. There's nothing better that's going to get better than this. So they deserved it.
A completely perfect season.
Perfect season.
When was the last time we had one of those?
LSU in 2019 went 15-0. This team went 16-0, which makes them just, yeah.
By the way, next year, the football championship will be played 2 months after the end of the regular season. 2 months. I'm okay with that, actually. More football. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Michelle Obama, Mother Obama, is in the news. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Todd Stearns Radio Show. What an honor to have all of you with us today. Michelle Obama making headlines. You know, she's been doing this book tour that, I don't know, for the past, 3 years now? I've never seen anything like this. And the whole book project is on fashion. No, I know that having Michelle Obama write a book about fashion would be like Rosie O'Donnell writing a dieting book. I understand that. But putting all of that aside for just a moment, Michelle Obama is out there, and she's been on this book tour. And Dylan, she's been really fired up because, you know, she's an aggrieved black woman. She is an oppressed black woman. She has been put upon by the American people. And it doesn't matter how good she's got it. You know, the woman is worth tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, but it's not enough. It's not enough. She feels that she has been slighted. She also has all of you white folk, she holds you in great contempt. And I say that because she blames you for electing her husband. You people were so racist that you elected Barack Hussein Obama as president of these great United States, not once, but twice. And she's very upset about all of that. Very upset. It doesn't matter that she has seven mansions. It doesn't matter she has a resort, a ranch in Hawaii. That makes no difference to her. She's an aggrieved black woman. She's an angry black woman. So anyway, she's doing this interview, and I don't know if it was a podcast. They had these four gals, and they were sitting there. All of them are black. And the whole point of the conversation was for Michelle Obama to remind all of you black women out there that you should stay away from white-owned brands. In other words, let's say you're going shopping down at, we'll say Bass Pro Shop, and you're a black woman. Michelle Obama says you should do whatever you can not to buy something made from a white, made by a white person. Don't do that. Todd, she didn't say that, did she? Oh, yes, she did. Play cut number two.
If I hear of someone whose fashion that I like and I know that they're a person of color, I try to make it a point. But the clothes have to be available. You know, I think we can all do some work to think about that balance in our wardrobes, you know. What does our closet look like and who's in it? Mm-hmm. Who are we supporting in it?
Right.
You know, and I think if you have the money to buy Chanel, mm-hmm. then you have the money to buy everybody.
Right.
And so let us be mindful, I think would be my advice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Be mindful. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Michelle Obama saying that she prefers to buy things made by black people. And I... Oh, my goodness. I was sitting here thinking about all of this, Dylan, as I was reading this story and I was reading up on the story. I can't tell you. I mean, I'm wearing a shirt. I'm wearing an undershirt. I've got, boxers on. I don't know who made, I don't know the skin color of the people who made my clothes. I can't tell you. I have no earthly idea. And I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but it doesn't really bother me at all. I just want something that's going to look nice, right? Am I in the minority here on this? I don't think it really matters. But I'm wondering, how does Michelle Obama do that? I mean, when Michelle Obama is going into Target, does she have a list of all the, I mean, is there some sort of a list where she has all of the black clothing designers in America. She sort of has a directory. And she's sorting through the racks. And she's trying to find some clothes, but they have to be made by a black person. I'm just wondering, why is it that people celebrate this woman? And this woman is... Clearly a racist at the worst. I mean, maybe a bigot at best. But with Michelle Obama, everything is about race. Everything is about race with this woman. And again, keep in mind, her husband was supposed to usher in the post-racial age in America. Instead, after 8 years of Obama, you've got grade school kids thinking their grandparents were still slaves picking cotton in North Mississippi in 1999, which was not true, by the way. But that's where we are right now. Unbelievable. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Ron. Ron, what say you?
Oh, my brother, first of all, we want to give God the glory. We need prayer in this country because we know the devil's trying to stir, but his hand is upon us, and we shall not falter for the devil's trap. The main point I want to address is from yesterday was the observation of Reverend King is pretty hypocritical when you see that the various usual suspects, including Al Sharpton, you know, the one that grifted about $5 million off $100 million they raised on GoFundMe in 2020. You know, I call him the pimp call slip back.
Okay, but what about Michelle Obama here? I want to get around to Michelle. Yeah.
Oh, Michelle. Oh, she is a gold digging Jezebel. She's Big Mike. To be honest with you, she wants to portray that she's with the folks, but she loves the gold. She loves to be seen. I mean, but she loves power, and she figured, I got enough sheep. Then I'll go ahead, and you know, man, I'm the Mosaic American redneck of all colors. She wants to use it to profit. And my main point is, Todd, especially what happened Sunday at the church, my worst fear is, and I pray that President Trump get on it immediately, if we don't get a snap down while this weather is cold, my worst fear is the invaders that's in our country, not counting the cartels that's got 53 consulates from Mexico in this country. And it bothers me. And we need prayer, but we need to be proactive. And the Republican Party, Mr. Gruters, since I'm in the Republican Party in Polk County, he needed to get off his tuff and start putting some bollocks of truth and accountability and go on to history and also reach out on the principles, the 80-20 decisions. I mean, I'm not going to agree with somebody from the left based on
And Ron, this is, again, as a national show, so we try to keep, you know, we try to keep the local and national, but I get your point there. And I think what we're looking at with Michelle Obama is sheer hypocrisy. Ron, I got to run. Thank you for that call. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. And welcome back. This is the Todd Stern's radio show. Happy to have you with us today. Trust you're doing well wherever you might be. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So there is a very popular liberal podcaster. Her name is Jennifer Welch. I think that's her name, and I think she's a female. I think. Not 100% sure, but we're just going to go with it. Anyway, she says that the church that was targeted in St. Paul, Minnesota, is full of white nationalists. Take a listen to Cut 13.
So that is one of those white evangelical churches that turn out to vote for Donald Trump, 80%+ of that sect of Christianity. These are the don't tread on me folks. These are the people who feel like America is for Americans and American only. These are white nationalists. And the DOJ got their panties in a wad because these protesters went straight to them and addressed their hypocrisy. You, a gay black journalist, are, I mean, prime bait for them to drum up these charges. But so that's one issue. You went right into the most entitled white nationalists there are, and they feel that ICE is 100% justified.
All right. I'm just going to step out on a limb here and just say some things about this church. First of all, I don't know much about them, but I'm just going to tell you, I know about that age demographic within the Southern Baptist Convention. I guarantee you, I would be willing to wager a Freddy's custard. I would be willing to wager. I don't wager the Chick-fil-A anymore. I've given up Chick-fil-A, Dylan.
Freddy's is a good swap.
It was, yeah, it was hard, but I just can't go down that way.
They got to get their act together first.
Yeah. Yeah. That gay chicken leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. So anyway, you got this. What were we talking about? Oh, yes, the church. I'd be willing to wage a Freddy's custard that. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry about that. So, look, I would be willing to wage a Freddy's custard that a good many of the people that go to that church probably did not vote for Donald Trump. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that. But it doesn't matter. Because they're white. That's the thing here. And this is what I wish we could get this through the thick skulls of a lot of these the woke evangelicals and white conservatives, is that they're coming after you partly because of your skin color. And it's a very difficult conversation that people do not want to have. But you got to have that conversation. They do not think you're pretty fly to be a white guy. Here's Don Lemon. And by the way, Lemon was on this podcast with Jennifer Welch, cut number 12.
And there's a certain degree of entitlement. I think people who are, you know, in the religious groups like that, it's not the type of Christianity that I practice, but I think that they're entitled, and that entitlement comes from a white supremacy. And they think that this country was built for them, that it is a Christian country, when actually we left England because we wanted religious freedom. It's religious freedom, but only if you're a Christian and only if you're a white male, pretty much. And so, yeah, I absolutely 100%, but it's an intimidation tactic. And, you know, I said, I don't understand how I've become the face of it when I was a journalist. I do understand that I'm the biggest name there. And I'm also, as I was on with my producers this morning, you know, you and Kylie talk all the time. My producers were saying, I said, how did I become the face of this? And my producer said, Don, you're a gay black man in America.
All right. I'm going to wager something else. I'm going to wager a Culver's roast beef sandwich. Man, what a great restaurant chain that is. I'm going to wager a Culver's roast beef sandwich. I'll throw in the combo with a Dr. Pepper, that 99% of the people in that church have no idea who Don Lemon is. No idea. This guy is so full of himself. I'm a superstar. You know what? He's just disappointed that he's not the guy making out with Anderson Cooper on New Year's Eve. Remember that? Oh, he used to get plastered. He could not hold his liquor, which is kind of shocking for a gay man. I'm just shocked. But the guy couldn't hold his liquor. It was really, he was a sloppy drunk too, Don Lemon. It's very off-putting. But anyway, I hate to say it, but Don, nobody knows who you are. You're a has-been, Don. You're a nobody. And on top of that, Don, you're getting old. And there's nothing you can really do about that. So nobody wants a has-been washed-up CNN anchor. And I know that, look, we just bring the reality and the truth, and it's sort of like, an intervention. That doesn't mean that Don Lemon's life is over. It just means this career is over. So maybe he should, consider getting a job in the men's fashion section at Macy's. Men's unmentionables. Maybe that's what he can do. But, yeah, I don't feel bad for the guy, because he's a sleazeball, and he loves to terrorize people in the church house, and that's unacceptable. You know what gets me here? Using this logic, I would not be surprised if the next target of these people would be all-white daycare centers, where they can go and they can bully and harass and harangue the little children and make them pee themselves. The babies, not the protesters. But I don't know, maybe both. But that's what Don Lemon is all about, and that's what's going on there, and that's why President Trump, who is at the White House podium right now speaking, kind of surprised reporters, and the president is literally thumbing through dozens and dozens of mugshots saying, why would you not want these very dangerous people off your streets? That makes absolutely no sense. It's a fair question, Mr. President. It's absolutely a fair question. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, Dylan, it's funny. Coach Saban was part of the show last night. And, man, they were having some audio issues early on. I don't know if you caught that. They were getting ready to do the national anthem. I thought it was a good national anthem. You know, it wasn't Whitney Houston.
That's true.
But they had this little high school choir, and they were singing God Bless America, America the Beautiful or something. America the Beautiful. And you could hear,
check, 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 mic check.
Yeah.
I'm like, somebody tell the guy his microphone is
on. It's odd. You heard the announcers talking, and then you just check, one, two, one, two.
Anyway, I thought you could barely hear the poor choir, though. I mean, yeah. They were like, oh, beautiful. And they were doing the little sign language. It was very pretty, very beautiful, very moving. You just couldn't hear it.
That's true. Yeah. Thankfully, they fixed it for the national anthem, though.
They did. And it was an okay version, but I'm like,
I watched him on American Idol. I thought he was really good.
Yeah.
But you know.
It's a tough song to sing.
It is very hard to sing in front of all those people, too.
He hit all the right notes, yeah. But I think the problem is he added a lot more.
Yeah, the ad-libbing, sometimes it gets too much.
I'm not a big fan. Anyway, Coach Saban talking about, is this the end of the SEC? These guys, they hate the SEC, but not Saban. You know, and they're like, does this mean that the Big Ten is now the IT conference? And here's how Coach Saban explained what's going on. Take a listen.
Now, I didn't get the memo because I'm not a part of it. Who are you SEC people pulling for? Another national championship, rooting for anybody else? Or what are you guys? Miami, because it's kind of Southern.
Yeah, you got to break up the Big Ten streak.
Yeah,
you can't have. What do you want?
To me, in this day and age of the culture we have now in college football, paying players, name, image, and likeness, transferring, it's an advantage for the Big Ten. I don't care. You'll never convince me otherwise.
The North.
Because people in the South would not go to the North unless you paid them.
It's true. It's really true. By the way, they're saying that Mark Cuban bought the team. That was the argument last night.
I don't think so. If you look at the players, they all came from James Madison University, or Fernando Mendoza came from Cal. So
yeah, he was a two-star recruit.
Two-star recruit out of high school.
That's it. And now his brother's on the team.
Yeah.
And little brother, boy, he was excited last night.
Oh, yeah.
He was fired up. All right, got to take a break here. And by the way, congratulations to the Indiana Hoosiers. Well done. What a great season. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Tom Stern Show.
Gang member, known as one of the toughest people around. These are tough people. So this is what the people are trying to protect, because all ICE wants to do is get them out of our country, bring them to prisons and jails and mental institutions from where they came. That's all they want to do. They're patriots, and they have to be abused by guys like Don Lemon, who's a loser, lightweight. I saw him the way he walked in that church. It was terrible. I have such respect for that pastor. He was so calm. He was so nice. He was just accosted. What they did in that church was horrible yesterday. Look at it. 24 convictions. 24 times convicted. They're not charges. These are convictions. So he comes from outside the country. Do you think he's going to be good here? Convicted 24 times, he's going to be good here, right? It doesn't work that way.
All right, that's President Trump just moments ago there at the White House. A surprise appearance before the press corps. By the way, wasn't there a time when whenever the president walked into a room, the appropriate response is to rise to your feet? They didn't do that. This White House press corps, they're just a really inconsiderate bunch, these people. But anyway, the president weighing in, of course, on what happened there in St. Paul, Minnesota. The president touting all of the great accomplishments so far of his administration. By the way, Wall Street Journal has a poll. 92% of the people who voted for President Trump still support him. You say, Todd, why is that number important? Because the media and the never Trump Republicans would have you believe the president is hemorrhaging support, especially among Hispanic voters. But the facts paint a very different picture. And that picture is that the president is maintaining his high approval ratings because he is delivering on his campaign promises. Congress, not so much. But President Trump, he absolutely is. 901-260-5926, telephone number, 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio from our interview yesterday. Dr. Paul Chappell at West Coast Baptist College, his condemnation of Don Lemon going viral across the nation. Let's take a listen.
Good to see you, Pastor. Want to get your reaction to what happened yesterday.
Well, we've all been concerned for religious liberty. We have seen houses of worship under attack in an alarming rate. And as we saw what took place yesterday, a pastor and his congregation worshiping Jesus, trying to lift up the gospel, and suddenly their services were completely disrupted by people who were trespassing and people who were breaking the law in order to be present. And as I saw that, my heart went out to the pastor and the church, and I certainly believe that this should not be the accepted norm in America. We have the freedom of speech. They can stand out on the sidewalk and in other places, but to enter into private property is something that deserves a thorough investigation.
You know, Dr. Chappell, we checked all the networks. No one's covering this story. ABC, NBC, CBS, the New York Times, they're not covering this story. I have to imagine if this had been perhaps a black progressive church and the attackers would have been a white conservative mob, I suspect that the coverage would look very differently. What say you, and why do you think that is, the media is not covering this story?
Well, first of all, let me say that I would abhor any intervention of worship in any house of worship. Roger Williams founded the Rhode Island colony, and as a Baptist minister, he declared it open for Catholics, for people of other faiths. We believe in individual soul liberty, and we respect the right to worship. And the reason for the media's lack of attention is based upon their own belief system. They do not believe that the Word of God is a vital foundation for our country. They have a pluralistic ideology, a humanistic ideology, whereas we do believe that our founders, men such as John Adams, who said it is the duty of the clergy to address the issues of the day in their messages, many of our founders knew the Lord, and they respected and said we need the input of the Bible in our society. The media does not believe that, and that's why this story is not being carried.
I want to play from some audio from a protester who posted this on social media. Let's take a listen.
All these comfortable white people who are living lavish, comfortable lives while children are dragged into concentration camps. You're living real life, nice lives with your lattes, doing absolutely nothing for your Latino and Somali brothers and sisters. You come here to a man wearing a suit as a preacher? Did Jesus wear a suit? Did Jesus profit off the words? No! Jesus would die within him. You do not touch me. Touch me again and see what happens.
Hey, you can't. Don't.
You are a fake Christian. Why are you not standing with your Somali and Latino communities?
You know, Pastor, I couldn't help but notice the anger in that man. He's wearing a very profane hat. And yet these Christians are coming up in a very graceful way. I'm not sure I would be that graceful if somebody was screaming at me like that in a church.
Well, most churches that preach the gospel attract all kinds of people. We had over 1,000 Latinos in our church just yesterday. We have missionary endeavors going on right now in more than 50 countries. And the fact is that these churches, that particular church may be in a more affluent neighborhood, I do not know, but they're not to be judged because of their place in life. And I believe that to assume that they don't care about the plight of others is not the place of these terrorists who broke the law yesterday by coming into the church. And I do want to say this could have been much more dangerous than it was. It was because of the grace of the pastor and the church that things were minimized, but it could have gotten out of hand real quickly. And that's why I believe an investigation is needed, and people need to understand that houses of worship are not where you bust in and start to make your case about the current political issues of the day.
And real quick here, Pastor, before we let you go, I think there is a moment that we need to maybe suggest to churches they need to have some sort of a security plan in place in the event something like this happens.
Absolutely. You know, the Lord has commissioned us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. But there are people who will do their best to disrupt as we're trying to get this message out. And so every church should contact their local law enforcement, get a hold of your insurance company. They have guidelines for these types of things now. Many insurance companies have insurance for these events in the case of damage. And I would highly recommend that they train men and women within the church to be watchful and to keep their place of worship a safe and welcoming place of worship. Everyone is welcome, but there needs to be safety at the forefront, sadly, even in our houses of worship today.
Well, this story from the pages of the New York Post, Erica Tempesta is the author. Apparently, there is a new exercise craze. A rising fitness trend has fans channeling their inner animal by walking, running, and even jumping on all fours. It's a form of a movement known as quadrobics. You know, Dylan, I can barely stand up on all twos. Much less all fours.
Can barely do a push-up. I don't know how these people are doing this.
Mm. The unconventional style of exercise gaining traction on social media. Do you guys know anybody who's doing this? Devotees are showing off their bear crawls and cat leaps, often wearing furry masks and tails. Okay, This is where they lose me. I mean, I can get it if you're exercising, and that's a way to exercise. But when you put on a tail, when you wear a furry mask, that's when it gets weird for me. One TikToker who asked to remain anonymous started doing quadrobics last year after learning about Therians, a group of people who identify as non-human animals, not to be confused with furries, who both engage and dress up as anthropomorphic animals. This is weird stuff. It's a popular activity within the subculture and the furry movement, but the practice not exclusive to Therians. One person says it's a full-body workout. I've actually lost a lot of weight since I started doing it. And that's good. The guy says he started getting a six-pack, but are you furrier now? Do you grow hair? I mean, do you take on the characteristics of the critter that you're emulating?
I mean, the bear crawl is a legitimate exercise that people do all the time. And it actually is really, you know, good for your body. But when you do add the fur and the masks, it's hard to see, too. I can imagine.
Especially if it's got to be sweaty. That's nasty, yeah. Right?
True. Maybe that helps you lose more weight, though. Maybe that's their goal. Probably not, though.
One TikToker says she created a niche for herself by combining her love of traveling nature with quadrobics. She spends hours hiking in southern Germany and Austria. Although she feels most connected to wild goats, she wears cat masks that she sells on Etsy to conceal her identity, simply because they look nicer and are easier to make. It definitely makes you feel like an animalistic spirit, she said. I just don't know about that. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, let's just say that you're at, I don't know, Gold's Gym or Planet Fitness, and you walk in there and you've got this long furry tail. And I mean, what happens if it gets like caught up in all the equipment or something, right? I mean, you're on the cycle and the next thing you know, your tail's all wrapped up in there. What do you do?
All their complimentary dog bowls are gone. They fill them up with water and they're just drinking from the gym floor.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
I mean, what happens? Do they go up and sniff other people in the gym? That's what I want to know. That would be weird. Oh, by the way, did you see the ICE agents in Minneapolis? They took down a furry. This fox, guy dressed like a fox, and he took off. He hightailed it out of there, and ICE officers were on that guy like white on rice.
Was he on all fours or the twos?
No. He was on twos.
Oh, well, yeah. That's his problem. He didn't channel the fox enough.
I just don't know about all these furries, ladies and gentlemen. Well, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Would you ever try to exercise on all fours? What do they call it? Doing it doggy style? Is that what they would call it?
Not quite. Okay. I think it's called bear crawl.
Oh, pardon me. I'm sorry. Wow.
No.
Oh, I just remembered. Never mind. I misspoke. Oh, geez. Paul Shanklin weighing in. I'm going to read this raw, as they say. The problem is part of their... Actually, nobody says that. The problem is part of their exercise routine is scooting their bottoms across the floor like a chihuahua with a gland problem. Guess it's known as the butt scooting boogie. Is that true? I've always wondered. Have you seen the dogs when they do that?
Yeah, my dog does that a lot.
Is it because they have a gland problem?
I don't know. I thought it was just because...
They had an itch.
An itch, or maybe some leftover. Well, whenever my dog does it, I'd really get on to her because it's usually on the carpet and not on something else. But dogs love that.
I've seen the pictures. By the way, have you seen the latest? And I just realized yesterday this was AI. People make these lifelike cakes that look like cats, and they have a cat, and the cat is up on the counter as this thing comes out, and it's all like frosted, and it looks like a cat, and they take out the huge butcher knife, and they carve the cat, and the other cat sitting there looking like, rear! I mean, just like trying to like save his friend who happens to be a baked good.
I've missed that side of the internet, thankfully.
It's insane. Maybe I'm just in a weird algorithm.
I think so. You may be in the weird AI algorithm.
It could be.
You know, that's a thing, right? People make AI videos to try to trick older people. Not saying you're old, but the elderly people, they'll make the AI videos that look realistic and something crazy happens and they'll make money off of it.
I did figure out, though, there was one AI video where there was a plane crash, and right as the plane was crashing, a guy jumped out of the plane and just kind of like walked off.
Right.
That was AI.
Yeah.
You could kind of see it. Yeah. I think he had five fingers.
Yeah, you always look at the fingers.
Plus the thumb.
Fingers and then the teeth and the eyes. They'll give it away.
That and the fact that nobody really has ever walked away from a plane crash. Yeah,
that's a very good point.
Just want to throw that out there.
Except for Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
It's not real.
Oh, my goodness. But anyway, yeah, no, it's just amazing. These lifelike cat cakes and the little kittens are like, you know, they think, oh, my God, they're killing Fluffy. What's wrong with these humans? This news, ladies and gentlemen, Buc-ee's making headlines. They plan to open the world's largest convenience store. Buc-ee's plans this is actually going to surpass the largest store in Texas, and it's going to be constructed in Fort Pierce, Florida. 76,245 square feet. St. Lucie County, I guess they need it down there. It'll sit along Interstate 95 and will feature 120 gas pumps and 18 electric vehicle charging stations. There will also be more than 700 parking spaces. The new location will be bigger. This is from Fox Business. The new location will be bigger than its Luling, Texas store, which already occupies 75,593 square feet of retail space. The Travel Center, which officially opened in June 2024, had been its largest to date. Prior to that, the title belonged to a 74,000 square foot Buc-ee's in Tennessee. Oh, that has to be Pigeon Forge. It's got to be that one. Buc-ee's was founded in the 1980s and has long stood out among rivals for its sheer size of its facilities and the clean bathrooms. For example, 7-Eleven locations typically span just 2,500 to 3,000 square feet, while Wawa and Sheetz, you ever been to a Sheetz store?
I've never been to Sheetz. I heard it's up north.
Yeah, well, and in Iowa, too. Jeff Katz took me to Sheetz. It's very nice. Wait a second. Yes. Sheetz. And Wawa.
Heard of Wawa. I've been to a Wawa and obviously been to a Buc-ee's. This is like a date spot. This huge Buc-ee's, it might be a date spot. Because, I mean, it's got all the food. Fill up your gas while you're at it.
But you can't eat inside. They don't have any tables for you to sit down and eat.
That's okay.
That is
you're there to peruse anyway.
You know it's bad when they have grocery carts.
It's true.
A lot of locals actually do their grocery shopping at Buc-ee's.
I'm not surprised. They're a very trustworthy company.
You know what I want to do? I want to be able to work the barbecue counter just once. That's a goal. That's a goal. Well, yeah, I mean, these are like six-figure salaries.
Yeah. The bathroom person gets paid more than, you know, most CEOs.
Those are clean bathrooms.
Very clean.
Very nice bathrooms. All right, we got to leave it there, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. We have a jam-packed program, including Congressman Andrew Clyde. He'll be joining us. So anyway, stick around for that. In the meantime, we will see you back here on the radio, noon o'clock. Get out there and be good, everybody.